Hello, everybody. How are you today? I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's Good. We're taking It's All About Food to the campaign trail today. Why not? I know it's on a lot of people's mind, the things that are going on with our federal government, in particular here in the United States. A lot of us have high anxiety, and many of us are getting more active and more involved, and that's a good thing. But there's something we have to keep in mind. We have to stay energized. We have to stay healthy. And we are going to be talking about a new organization called Healthy Campaign, and I'm excited to be able to do that today. I have Annabelle Park with me, who is one of the campaign coordinators for Healthy Campaign. Annabelle is a progressive activist, a documentary filmmaker of 9500 Liberty and Story of America. Annabelle is the co-founder of the digital media company Indigo Light. She is a passionate advocate for immigrant rights, social justice, and democratic reform. She has launched several online communities, including The Coffee Party, Bridge the Divide, Facing Humanity, America Welcomes Refugees, and The Talk on Main Street. She studied philosophy and politics at Boston University and then at Oxford University. Since joining Healthy Campaign, the change in eating habits and diet has significantly improved her health. Let's hear more about that. Welcome, Annabelle, to It's All About Food.
Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for having me.
Hi. So I'm looking forward to talking to you. I wanted to know more about the Healthy Campaign because I am a friend and admirer of Marjorie Roswell, the founder of Healthy Campaign, and she wanted you to speak on her behalf about this program. So let's get started about that. Well, even before we talk about Healthy Campaign, you are an activist. You're like 110% activist. Is that correct?
All I know is that I try. I keep trying.
Yeah.
So, yes.
There are a lot more people that are getting involved today because we're getting scared about our freedom. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of us who had more freedoms than others are getting involved now because we feel like it's encroaching on more of us. I know that many other people have been struggling for a long time, even before this particular government took hold. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been an activist? Have you been in the trenches for most of your life? What's your story?
Yeah, I became a full-time activist, or sometimes I call myself a born-again citizen, because during the Iraq War, especially after the Abu Ghraib photos came out, I had a real awakening and realized, like, this war is just not going to stop by itself. I really needed to get involved. And so I decided I'm going to devote myself one way or another exclusively to changing the course of our country. So it was about 2004 and 5 when I became a full-time activist, and it's become my mission in life to create a kind of bottom-up democratic process and try to empower and engage citizens in our governance.
Well, thank you for everything that you're doing, and we need more people like you. And we all need to get together and do more, even those of us who are working 110% on activism. We can, like, eke out a little bit more because there's so much work to do, and it's a struggle. So I want to get to Healthy Campaign, but I'm kind of curious about all the other work that you've done. So can you talk a little bit about the films that you've made, 9500 Liberty and Story of America? I'm just kind of curious about them.
Yeah, 9500 Liberty is a film about what happened in Virginia, Northern Virginia, Prince William County, when the Republicans decided to push for an anti-immigrant local ordinance to try to drive out immigrants from the county. So it's basically the template that became SB 1070 in Arizona. Like, show me your papers, basically, policy. And it did drive out immigrants from the county, and their economy dropped, and it was at the beginning of the recession and the housing crisis, but they made things much worse. And so we documented this whole process, including the reveal that Democratic strategists at the national level engineered a kind of AstroTurf movement in the county to basically scare and disinform people about immigrants in their county. And so it's really a repeat of what right now is a repeat of what we saw back in Virginia in 2007. There's a lot of scaremongering, scapegoating, disinformation around immigrants and not really facing the reality that there were a lot of economic decisions that were made that are making people struggle, you know? And so that's basically the documentary. We started it as a YouTube channel. We made it into a feature film. And I just see all of this, like filmmaking, food, all of this as a way to find a route to engaging people. You know, that's because that is really ultimately my passion is getting people engaged.
Great. And Story of America?
That's the connection. Yeah, Story of America is about why we're so divided as a country. I started it as a very personal journey. And again, we made a lot of short little video clips along the way. I spent a lot of time in the South. And one of the things I discovered was that historical revisionism was really at the foundation of our divide. So we have a narrative divide in our country that where we have two very distinct, more than two, but two clear stories about how our country came to be the way it is. One that really acknowledges the harm of slavery and the role of Jim Crow laws and institutional racism. And the other that really evades the harm done to African Americans by slavery and Reconstruction, Jim Crow. And so there are two very distinct stories that can't be reconciled easily. It's also just my discovery of talking to all these Confederate Americans who were at the time when I started were Tea Party people who are now mostly Trump supporters. So I've had many, many hours of conversations with them about how they see things. And it was a very interesting challenge and patience. But I've learned so much, and I feel like my relationship to conservatives have changed. I've become much more understanding of where they're coming from and less kind of punishing and angry at them, because when I started, I was just so horrified by the Tea Party. So I'm still working on finishing the feature film, but you can see a lot of short videos that we made on the Story of America YouTube channel and Facebook page.
Fabulous. So through all of this work, have you come up with a strategy, or are you developing a strategy maybe to swing some of these people that you're understanding better, more towards what you believe in?
I do. I mean, what I think is ultimately people are feeling scared. Insecure,
it's fear, definitely fear.
Lonely, isolated, and they're seeking a kind of soulful nourishment. They want to have a sense of connection and self-esteem. And it's very hard for them to get in kind of the mainstream culture, right? Because unless you're famous, unless you're rich, you feel like a loser, you know? And unless you're in a particularly strong community, you feel alone. And I think we really need to address some of these things that are deeper than your political label, right? I feel that we need to go there. And that, again, this is why food is really important and why Healthy Campaign is so important, is because food is such an incredible way to create community, right? It tells people, we care about you. And so I really believe, and this is why I started the coffee party too, because I believe in the strength of getting together over coffee. But with Healthy Campaign, it's about getting together over meals and nourishing each other and building a more perfect union together.
Okay, let's talk about Healthy Campaign. So begin with, the website is healthycampaign.org.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it get started? What are you doing? How do we get involved?
Well, I mean, the goal of Healthy Campaign is to show people that you can eat healthy and be healthy while doing this thing that seems Herculean, volunteering for campaigns, organizing, working on campaigns, running for office, things that seem to just take everything out of us. And so then right now the norm is you just grab anything to eat, like you grab pizza, you grab donuts. But really, it's so important in the long run that we stay healthy. And even just to win the election, we have to stay healthy. We see candidates getting sick, staff people getting sick, volunteers getting burnt out. And so if we take a step back, instead of grabbing for immediate gratification, we need to understand how our bodies work and that we've got to nourish ourselves. And so we give people tools for how to do that, quick recipes, and tools like the Instant Pot and Vitamix that can help us eat nourishing food on the go while we work. I don't know if you use Instant Pot, Karen, but it's been a lifesaver for me because I just plug it in, throw stuff in, I work, and then 30 minutes later, I have a beautiful meal. And it's kind of
I know many people swear by the Instant Pot, and we've talked about it a lot on this program. I am not someone who has one. I'm happy in the kitchen, and I'm very efficient, and I don't feel a need for it. Maybe that'll change at some point, but I'm glad a lot of people have found a way to the kitchen to make healthy food with it.
Yeah, no, so it's been great for me because I'm not like you. Like, I'm not that efficient in the kitchen, so I avoid cooking. And so it's been a great way to have healthy meals without feeling like I have to spend all this time preparing. And so there are tools like that. Margie, who's our visionary, created a toolkit that's brilliant, that people can download, and you can go through how to plan your meals, what are some pantry items that we should always have so you were not worried about going to the grocery store every time we want to cook. And it's a brilliant way to just get organized, because a lot of cooking, as you know, is about being organized and planning, right? So that we're not just grabbing the easiest thing, which is like a breakfast bar or a cereal, but we're actually eating an oatmeal with bananas, or I like savory oatmeal, so I throw in spinach and peppers and onions.
Ultimately it's less expensive than living on bars.
Oh gosh, absolutely. So I have saved tons of money eating this way, because I don't go out to eat that much occasionally. And also, I just feel so much better. I just have more energy. And I've lost, 12 pounds since April.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Good for you.
But you've lost good pounds.
It's not like you're wasting away. You're feeding your immune system. Yeah. You're feeding your mind. You've got energy, I'm assuming. And mm-hmm. you're also slimming down.
Yeah. And it's empowering. And that is what I want to convey to all your listeners, is that it's so easy to feel demoralized and fatigued right now. And eating and cooking and eating together is such a good way to get energy and to feel healthy and feel connected. So it just, for me, hits all those things. And that's why it's been so transformative, and why I'm so passionate about it, and why I think our movement needs to focus on health and eating together, eating healthy.
Now, you're talking about having an Instant Pot at your home that you use.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I remember talking to Marjorie about this concept about a year or so before she actually launched it. And part of it was to have ways to prepare food in a campaign office. Are you doing anything like that?
Yeah, in fact, we actually invested in converting a van so that inside the van we have a couple of little beds and we have a kitchen where we can actually cook. And so we just got the van. I just cooked my first meal in it a couple of days ago. And I am working in Virginia to help campaigns in Virginia. So starting this weekend, I'm going to be preparing food for volunteers and staff in the van. But we do have tips for people to just quickly plug in some things to be able to cook in the campaign. So as you know, Instant Pot is a plug-in. So all you need really is water and a way to wash up. And you have a kitchen. everyone is used to having a microwave, and an Instant Pot is next to it would be a great addition so that we people have more choices.
Okay. So the idea is you go to different campaign offices and feed people.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do, but also we're going to show people how they can do it themselves.
Oh, good.
You know, how they can, like, one of our favorite recipes is lentil tacos. And we usually use lettuce with it. You know, you can use tortillas and taco shells. But it's so easy. It's a very easy recipe. It's salsa, lentils, and water in an Instant Pot. And you cook it for 12 minutes, and you have this brilliant filling. It's really tasty. And you put it on lettuce. You can throw more salsa on top of it. Or if you have money for toppings, you can throw some tomatoes or avocados on it. And it's really delicious. And it's much better than pizza or sandwiches, and a lot less expensive. So that's one example.
You know, I have an image of campaign offices, not just from movies, but from seeing them in real life. And in the early days, it was people with cigarettes and coffee cups and donuts. And it hasn't really evolved much over the decades, except maybe
cigarettes.
People aren't smoking in the offices anymore.
But yeah, every time you go into a campaign office, you're going to see Cheetos and donuts and lots of coffee. And yeah, that's still true, and it's actually quite sad. I get sad when I see that. I know that for me, every time I work hard in a campaign, I end up getting sick, and it's because we're not eating well. So I'm determined to change that for myself and to show people that we don't have to do this to our bodies to win. It's very counterproductive, you know, I feel like we have to show it to people, because when I try to explain it to people, they kind of roll their eyes like, oh, but it's so much work. I can't do that. I'm too busy. So I think we have to show people, look, this is how it's done. It took me 12 minutes to make this.
Okay, so this would be great for people all around the country to do something like this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen.
Well, I want everybody to eat healthfully, not just during campaigns, but for everything. But I think we'd see a lot more positive action if people took care of themselves while helping out on a campaign. I know how exhausting it can be and how unhealthy it is.
Yeah.
And there could be side effects.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, where people get educated about nutrition, and then they learn how to include more positive policy, or want to promote positive policy for better nutrition. Because part of the problem is our politicians aren't educated about nutrition. They have an ear to lobbyists who tell them one thing or another. But if they knew more about how important it was to feed us all and how inexpensive it could be, we'd get better policy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we have to start connecting these dots, you know, and I have seen people who advocate for health care, you know, eat really poorly, right? And I think that, you know, part of it involves just like showing people that there is a connection also between our policies and how we live our lives. And so I am a big believer in it. And it's been a recent thing. I've always eaten fairly healthy. But I became addicted to eating mostly plant-based food since I met Margie, and to cook for myself. And so I owe so much to her. I really do. I feel like a different person in some ways. I just feel more positive. I don't feel so prone to getting down and depressed. I just feel physically stronger. And then that alters kind of how I filter everything when I personally feel physically stronger and to value myself. It is part of self-care. I value my own health. And instead of feeling like I have to sacrifice myself at the altar of progress, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take care of myself and take care of the people I love and people I work with.
That's wonderful to hear. I love the individual stories when people start to eat more plants and eat healthier food and how they feel better. And we should all feel good. And when I think about volunteers, just volunteers in general, either for a political campaign or for other things, there are so many things you can volunteer for. But many volunteers experience burnout and exhaustion.
Yes.
And part of it is from not eating well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not taking care of ourselves. And how can we help anyone else if we're not taking care of ourselves? That's what, being selfish is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I have personal friends who dropped out of the movement because they felt burnt out. Well, they felt poor and they felt burnt out. They thought this is just not working. And that's one of the reasons why I've been friends with Margie for a long time, but since I connected with Margie about Healthy Campaign, I heard the clarion call very loudly because my friends were dropping out. Mm. And it's so bad for our movement when talented people with years of experience start dropping out. This is not sustainable.
Well, I love food. I talk about food all the time. It's my favorite subject. This show is called It's All About Food. But you mentioned an important part, and that is the community around food. And when we're working together on a campaign or anything, we should all break bread together, whether it's bread or gluten-free bread or not bread at all. Just having food together is really an important thing, especially to heal the loneliness that so many people feel. And even if you lose or you feel like you're losing ground on a particular issue or something, you have each other
to
hold you up and keep you going and know that next time will be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that loneliness is so harmful. It just is. And I think loneliness is an epidemic. I mean, we call it depression, but really I think it's loneliness, so much of it. And it's damaged our culture, and it's definitely damaging our movement. I think we have to recognize that and to know that there are remedies for that. Togetherness is a remedy for that. And eating together is, to me, And I know that you agree with me, is like such a direct way to build that connection. You may not agree on anything at all, but when you eat together and you nourish each other, it develops a bond, it develops trust. And I think that is the quickest way to start to address loneliness. I don't know. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy.
True to me.
Don't. No, you're not. I'm looking at the healthycampaign.org website, and you have a resources section. I'm looking at the cartoon, which is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Do you know who put that cartoon together?
Yes, his name is Tom, I think it's Cockley. I worked with him, but I am blanking out on the name. I think it's Cockley. And he works with Margie. They are friends. He's Baltimore-based. He worked very closely with us, was very patient with all our requests. But he's a wonderful cartoonist. He's working on other things for us. And, yeah, I think, we wanted to figure out ways to really tell the story of what is happening in our campaigns and how different it could be just with simple change in how we eat.
Right. So if any of you out there are involved in any political campaigning, you might want to go over to healthycampaign.org, and if you go under the resources section, you can see the cartoon, which is fun and informative, but there's also a 20-page toolkit, and that's a great way to get you started on getting
it's
a healthy
really
campaign kitchen.
Yeah, the toolkit is really comprehensive, and it's being used in some campaign trainings now, which is brilliant. So I highly recommend it, and everything is free. We're doing this because we are movement people, and we want to get these resources out to people. And it's not just for people who work on campaigns, even though we are prioritizing them because we're also progressives. but it's for anybody. Anybody. We would like everyone to eat healthy. The America would be better if everyone ate, you know, ate well. So that's why it's everything is there on the website, and we're going to keep building on it as we go, as we learn to figure out how to get the message out effectively.
I'm looking at some of the recipes, and they all look really good and simple.
Very simple, yeah. Yeah. Another favorite recipe of mine is chia pudding. It's just chia seeds and milk of your choice. I use cashew milk. Yeah, and you throw in some raisins to sweeten it, and it really is a great pudding.
And so good for you to get those
so
omega-3 fatty acids that so many people need and are not getting enough of.
Yeah, and you can have it for breakfast. You can have it as dessert or snack. I always have a bowl full in the refrigerator. So
you don't have to cook it. You just have to soak it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's another favorite of mine. But there are other recipes. I highly recommend people check it out and just, you know, try them.
Right. And it's all free. Thank you for that.
Yes. Huh. Margie is very passionate about, you know, making these changes in how we eat and ultimately the food industry. You know, if we start to change how we eat, the food industry will change. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Now, I know you're, as you mentioned before, you're passionate about other issues like immigrant rights and social justice and democratic reform. Mm-hmm. And food is a big issue kind of embedded in those issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I think food touches so many issues. It touches everything. It touches climate change. You know, it touches immigration. It touches income inequality. And it just touches everything. But for me, you know, the fact that we are punishing immigrants who actually, you know, are our farmers. You know, they do the picking. They do the hard work. And we're driving them out of our country is devastating to me. And that's going to have economic impact as well. Food prices are going to go up as a result of driving immigrants out and making it more difficult for farmers to farm, making it more costly for them to farm. So it's also connected to me. Climate change is, again, you know, direct connection to food. I mean, you know, I don't see how we're going to have sustainability unless we make these changes in our diet and to demand food without chemicals. You know, it's about sustainability, our health and health of our planet. It's so connected. And what do you think, Karen?
I think that I'm really glad that you've made this personal discovery yourself, because you'll be a much more convincing advocate now that you've seen the results yourself of what healthy food can do for you.
Yeah.
With that, we can, unless you want to add any more about Healthy Campaign or any other work you do.
Yeah, I would love for people to get in touch with us. We have a Facebook page.
Oh, right, the Facebook page.
Yeah, and a Facebook group. And we would love to create a community around Healthy Campaign. So it's not for people who are necessarily just believers, but people who want to learn, or people who have questions, people who have ideas. It just needs to be a conversation. Because it's not going to happen overnight, and there's a lot of barriers to making these changes. So, yeah, get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. And thank you so much for everything you do, Karen, and having me on. This is such an honor.
Thank you, Annabelle, and thank you for everything that you're doing. I'm going to check out some of your links that you gave me in your bio, because I'm kind of curious and fascinated by them. And, again, thank you for all that you're doing, and stay healthy. Please.
You too. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, say hello to Marjorie for me.
Oh, will do.
That was Annabelle Park, and she is involved with the new Healthy Campaign at healthycampaign.org. I like the tagline, eat real food and change the world. And there's a lot of other great information up there at healthycampaign.org. So volunteer, get involved with local politicians and find a way to feed the staffers and volunteers in a healthy way. And we'll all benefit from that.